Welcome everyone to Four Winds Fellowships. We are in our Bereans Bible Institute, module number 2. This module deals with the doctrine of God and His Son, how it's revealed in the scriptures, and how it was also understood by the earliest Christians. We are in section number C. In this section, we're dealing with the angel of the Lord, or the messenger of Yahweh, who appears throughout the books of Moses and in Joshua and in Judges and then occasionally in the prophets. And this person is unique among God's messengers or angels in that he speaks in the first person as God and as Yahweh. He uses God's name. He uses God's titles as though they're his own. He refers to the covenants that God made with Israel as though they're his own, that is, he delivered those covenants. And what we see is that in the New Testament, we are taught that this person is actually the Son of God who became human. Excuse me. Now, I would like to, in this lesson or this episode, episode number 3 in this section, I would like to talk about the messenger of Yahweh and how he is portrayed in relationship to the Exodus from Egypt and carrying Israel and leading Israel and protecting Israel and punishing Israel in the wilderness and then bringing them into the promised land. And so we're going to start here. If you look at the screen, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 13. And let's read verses 19 through 22. It says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped at Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And I want you to notice this, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Now, of course, this is the beginning of the Exodus with Moses had just given Israel instructions about keeping the Passover, which they did the day before, and now they are heading out of Egypt with all the gold and silver and jewelry and whatnot that they had taken from the Egyptian people who just wanted to get rid of them because of all those plagues. Now, as we go through these notes, I want you to pay particular attention to the letters in red. It's going to refer to the Lord Yahweh here, or the angel of the Lord. Just for identification purposes, we're going to show that in all these cases, it's the same person. Also, I want you to pay close attention to the highlighted yellow words here. All of the highlighted yellow words refer to this person's actions in moving with the children of Israel, all right? Either leading them, descending from heaven, things of that nature. Okay, so it's all his movements in relation to Israel. So it says the Lord went before them here and to lead the way. And it's in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that he's doing this. Okay, now here it says it's Yahweh doing this. But as we're going to see when we skip down to chapter 14 of Exodus, it's actually the angel of the Lord who is going before the camp of Israel, even though here it says Yahweh went before them. All right, so Exodus chapter 14, it says, beginning in verse 19, it says, "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel," note the connection to this passage, the previous passage, "moved and went behind them." So he's leading them first. Now when Pharaoh's army begins to pursue them and they're sort of right up against the Red Sea, they can't move forward. So it says the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Now verse 24. It says, now it came to pass in the morning watch, that the Lord, or Yahweh, looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. Now here we saw that's the angel of the Lord who went and moved behind them with the pillar of cloud. Here he's referred to as Yahweh. Now let's skip down to the incident at Mount Sinai, which occurred after the Red Sea was parted. They passed through the Red Sea. Pardon my cough. And they came to Mount Sinai, and then of course Moses was instructed to have the people prepare themselves, and on the third day Yahweh is going to come down on Mount Sinai. So that's what we see here in Exodus 19. It says, now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord, or Yahweh, descended upon it in fire. Now again, is this Yahweh himself? Is this the Father descending onto Mount Sinai? Or is this his messenger? Well, we'll see as we move on. All right, it says, its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long, it became louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Notice it's God answered him by voice. That's important. Then the Lord, or Yahweh, came down upon Mount Sinai. Notice the descending here. On the top of the mountain, and the Lord, or Yahweh, called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Again, we're not told whether this is Yahweh himself or the messenger of Yahweh yet, but if we look at Stephen's account of this incident in Acts chapter 7, he's given his big speech, and Stephen interprets this as the angel or Yahweh's messenger who came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with Moses. So it says here in Acts 7:35 and also 38 through 39, it says, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer, notice this, by the hand of the angel or the messenger who appeared to him in the bush. Now this is an important statement.
Excuse me.
Because it makes it perfectly clear that the messenger of Yahweh who appeared in the burning bush some 40 years earlier, and then now Moses is leading Israel out of Egypt, the same messenger who appeared in the burning bush is the messenger who gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai. Let me read this again. Acts 7:35 and then 38 and 39. It says, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel or the messenger who appeared to him in the bush. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel or the messenger who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected. In their hearts they turned back to Egypt. That is, our fathers would not obey the messenger of Yahweh. Now, what's important about Stephen's summary here is he links the angel of the Lord, the messenger of Yahweh, who appeared in the burning bush, as the same one who led Israel through the wilderness. It says, this is he, that is the angel who appeared to him in the bush. And then when you skip down to verse 38, it says, this is he, referring back to Moses, who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. So the same angel or messenger of Yahweh that appeared in the burning bush is the one who spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, called him up to the mountain, that what we read back here in Exodus chapter 19. It says Yahweh descended upon the mountain, and Yahweh called to Moses, called him up to the top of the mountain. Stephen says it was Yahweh's messenger who did these things. All right, so it's not just random angels of God appearing, you know, one angel appearing in the burning bush, another angel, you know, maybe on Mount Sinai, or another angel being the one that God said is going to lead Israel into the promised land. No, it's the same angel. Stephen makes that clear, the same messenger of God. All right, now, Exodus 23, 20 through 23, we've looked at this passage in a previous video, but it needs to be in the context of this whole Exodus scenario. It says, in beginning of verse 20, it says, God says, behold, I send an angel, or a messenger. The Septuagint says, my messenger, before you. Note the highlighted in yellow words. He's talking about him moving and going with Israel, right? I send my angel, my messenger, before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Now, this is an important statement, because what this verse is saying, verse 21, that they need to beware of him, is because he's going to punish them if they're not obedient. So God says, listen to him, obey him, and don't provoke him. Otherwise, look out, right? Look out. This implies that the messenger of Yahweh is the one who is going to punish Israel with all those incidents that we read about in Exodus, excuse me, where Israel was punished by Yahweh. It's the messenger of Yahweh who's carrying this out. That's made pretty plain here in verse 21. But then he says, for my name is in him, or upon him, the Septuagint says. And we talked about this statement in the previous video, but the point of this is that he has the authority and the right to speak and act as God, as Yahweh, and to use Yahweh's name and Yahweh's authority, which is what it means to that his name is in him or upon him. But if indeed you obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, for my angel or my messenger will go before you. And all right, so let's skip down to Exodus chapter 32. Verse 34, we say the same thing again. He says, now therefore go, he's speaking to Moses, lead the people to the place which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel or my messenger shall go before you. All right, Exodus 33, the very next chapter, he says this again. I will send my angel or my messenger before you. And I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Again, all these highlighted in yellow words you see here on your screen is the activity of the messenger of Yahweh carrying out Yahweh's promise and plans for his people. Now, after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and all of the things that we read about in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, all the ways that the Israel tested and disobeyed the messenger of Yahweh, and how all the punishments that were poured out upon them, including, you know, all the the serpents that bit some of them, and there were various other ways in which the messenger of Yahweh punished Israel. Deuteronomy 32, at the end of that 40 years in the wilderness, Moses sort of writes this as like his last words. It's the song of Moses. He was told to teach this song to the Israelites, to the whole nation of Israel, so that they would memorize it and sing it. And it talks about what God has done for them, but also their rebellion against God. So it says, beginning in, we're going to read 9 through 12 and then 15. It says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in a wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so Yahweh alone led him. And there was no foreign God with him. But Jeshurun," the word Jeshurun here, it means the one having been beloved, "grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation." Now that statement there, the rock of his salvation, excuse me, is an important point that we will see when Paul refers to this passage in 1 Corinthians 10. But I want to just point out a couple things here before we move on to that passage. Notice it says that Yahweh was carrying them like an eagle carries its young on eagle's wings. It says Yahweh alone led him, that is, led Israel. But how could Yahweh alone lead Israel, when we saw previously that God repeatedly said he's going to send his angel before them to lead them into the promised land, right? So when it says Yahweh alone led him, it doesn't mean he didn't use an agent. It means what we see right after it. There was no foreign God with him. That is, none of the foreign gods participated in any of this stuff. Yahweh alone, among the gods, if you will, led him, but he led him, or led Israel, through his agent, who is referred to as my messenger repeatedly in these passages. All right. But I want to point out this carrying them. He's in verse 11, it says, "As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So," or in this way, "the Lord alone led him." That is like an eagle carrying Israel, all right, carrying them through the wilderness. All right, again, we'll see that it's the messenger of Yahweh who did this, and that's who is the rock of Israel's salvation, is the messenger of Yahweh. Let's look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea." And of course, they were under the cloud. What does that mean? Well, back in Exodus, it was the messenger of Yahweh who was in the cloud and speaking to Israel. It says, "They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, I want to point out that the word spiritual there does not mean immaterial, as, you know, a lot of people think of things that are spiritual as being having no substance. But he talks about spiritual food and spiritual drink, and the food they ate, which was the manna, obviously was material food, and what they drank was real water, right? So it's the spiritual food and the spiritual drink is not referring to something that's not material. So that spiritual rock was the word spiritual in all these cases refers to something supernatural, that is something direct from God's spirit that is providing these things. And so that spiritual rock, Paul says, was Christ. Christ was in the wilderness with Israel. Now, Paul did say that followed them, and some would say, well, I thought the messenger of Yahweh was leading Israel. But two things. One, keep in mind that the messenger of Yahweh and the pillar of cloud went before Israel, but also went behind them. We saw that, excuse me, in Exodus. But also the word that's translated followed them simply means accompanied. It doesn't mean walking behind them. All right. It simply means accompanied them. And it's used that way all throughout the Septuagint. All right. So that shouldn't be an issue. Look at verse 5. He says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, of course, he's referring to the judgments that came upon them, because remember what God said about his messenger? He says, make sure you obey his voice, because he may not forgive your sins or overlook your sins. That is, he's going to bring punishment, which he did. Paul's saying that that was Christ who did those things. Look at verse 9. He says, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. What is he saying here? He's saying that the Israelites in the wilderness tempted or tested Christ's patience, and because they tested his patience, some of them were destroyed by serpents. Well, that's a reference directly back to what we said, where he said, messenger of Yahweh, about him, that don't test him, don't try him, because you're going to see his wrath. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. Now, one more New Testament passage in Jude 1:5. Now, I know that this is a minority translation. I have the ESV translation here. The New American Standard updated version also translates it this way. Most of your other versions don't, but they're wrong. Let me just read the verse and then I'll explain. He says, now, Jude speaking, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. All right, so most translations say the Lord who saved a people out of Egypt, but the earliest attested copies of Jude have Jesus here, not just Lord, all right? Plus, if you look at the previous verse in Jude chapter 1, he makes it clear that there is one Lord. He talks about God and then also one Lord who is Christ. So even if it's translated Lord, it's referring to Jesus, even in Jude chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, all right? But but I want you to notice, we see the same thing that we saw with Paul in the previous passage in 1 Corinthians 10, where he talks about the rock that accompanied Israel was Christ, and he talks about the fact that they tested Christ's patience and that he judged them, he punished them because of that. And we see exactly the same thing here in Jude chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, let's go to Judges, and in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we looked at this passage in a previous video in this section, but I want to connect it to what we have just read here, all right? So after they're in the promised land, Joshua has brought them into the promised land, this angel of the Lord appears again. It says, then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt. Again, the angel of the Lord speaking in the first person. I led you up from Egypt and brought you to this land of which, notice this, I swore to your fathers. The angel or the messenger of Yahweh was God's agent who swore these oaths to Israel, right? I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. So he's claiming the Mount Sinai covenant here. The messenger of Yahweh is claiming the Mount Sinai covenant as my covenant with you. You shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. So what's he saying here? He's saying, you have not obeyed my voice. What did God say when he said he was sending his angel or his messenger before them? Make sure that you obey his voice. Otherwise, you're going to find out his wrath. And so he's pointing this out to Israel here, even after they're in the promised land. All right, now, I want to go back to Exodus 33:7-23. You may remember in the first video in this series, we talked about the fact that the New Testament constantly says no one has ever seen God. He's referred to as the invisible God. John 1:18 says no one has seen God at any time, that the only begotten Son is the one who has made him known. So instead of seeing God, they saw the only begotten Son. That's pretty clear what John was saying in that passage. Let's start in we're going to read 7-23. It's a little bit of a lengthy section, but I think it's important. It says, verse 7, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that is the Tabernacle of Meeting. This is not the tabernacle that housed the furniture and all that stuff that God commanded them to build. Whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into that tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord, or Yahweh, talked with Moses. Now, again, the pillar of cloud. We saw that when the pillar of cloud moved from in front of the camp of Israel to behind the camp of Israel, that was the messenger of Yahweh moving in the pillar of cloud. And so, again, that implies that the Lord here is the messenger of Yahweh that's referred to. Verse 10. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. So the Lord, or Yahweh, spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now, again, this verse appears to contradict the New Testament when it says no one has seen God at any time. Jesus said no one has heard his voice or seen his form except Christ himself. Paul says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That is the visible form that people see. So it's clearly not a contradiction, because John 1:18 explains it, right? Who did they actually see? They saw the Son of God, who is the messenger of Yahweh. All right, so it says, verse 11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, or Yahweh, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet, and this is before he's made it clear that he's sending the messenger of Yahweh with him. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, this is Yahweh said, in the pillar of cloud at the tabernacle door when Moses went there, he says, quote, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Now, what's important about this statement is the word presence here in the Hebrew text literally means face. My face will go with you and I will give you rest. My face will go with you. Well, what does that mean that my face will go with you? Well, as we're going to see, this meant that his messenger, who is the image of the invisible God, was going to go with them. Verse 15. Then he said to him, that is, Moses says to Yahweh, if your presence or your face does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how, excuse me, how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, that is Moses said, please show me your glory. This is important here, your glory. He didn't say, show me your face. He said, show me your glory. Because he's speaking face to face. Up here it says that he spoke to Moses face to face. So he says, show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness, the Septuagint says, I will make all my glory pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Notice he's speaking as though the Lord is a distinct person from him when he says, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord when I go, when I pass before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see my face and live. Now, people confuse this because they think, okay, well, if he's speaking face to face, if he's speaking to the messenger of Yahweh, he sees his face. So why does he say, no one, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live? What he's saying is, in his full glory, because Moses, what Moses asked for when he's speaking face to face is to see his glory. He was appearing to Moses in the form of a man, as though he just looked like a normal man. But Moses wants to see more than just what looks like a normal man. He wants to see him in his powerful, what he actually really looks like, not this form that he was assuming in order to speak to Moses. And so Moses said, please show me your glory. That is how you actually really look in your unfiltered state, so to speak. And so he says, I will make all my goodness or my glory pass before you, but you can't see my face. That is, you can't see my face in its full glory. All right, because you wouldn't survive. Verse 22, so it shall be while my glory passes by. Notice, not my body passes by, but when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back. That is the glory of his back. But my face shall not be seen. That is in its fullness of glory. Now, what's important here is this verse in Isaiah 63, verse 9, summarizes all of this stuff that we have just read about the messenger of Yahweh bringing Israel and carrying Israel throughout that entire 40 years in the wilderness and even delivering them in the promised land. Isaiah 63, 9 says this, referring to Israel, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence, notice this, the angel of his presence, or literally face, save them. That's an important point, because in the previous verses that we read, it doesn't use the phrase angel of his presence or face. He just says, I'm going to send my face, or my presence is going to go with you. Excuse me. And then Moses says, if your presence or your face does not go with us, then don't send us. Don't bring us there. Right? So what Isaiah does is it combines these two terms, that is the angel or the messenger of Yahweh with Yahweh's presence or Yahweh's face. And it coins this whole new term, the angel or the messenger of his presence or face. All right, so it coins that term by combining those passages that we just read. So let me start again. Verse 9, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. The angel or messenger of his presence or face saved them. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them. And he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. Now, again, we saw that he said he was going to carry them, or he carried them like a eagle carries its young. He says he carried them through the wilderness, and he did this by his agent, that is the messenger of Yahweh. He lifted and carried them all the days of old. Also, in Exodus 19:4, which we haven't actually looked at, God says that I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, referring to bringing them out of Egypt into the promised land. So we see this idea of carrying Israel repeated at least three times in the Old Testament. And we see, by comparing all these passages, that the way God did that was by means of the messenger of his presence. All right, the messenger of his face, that is Yahweh's messenger. All right, so now look at this passage in Hebrews 1:1-3. This is from the LGV. This is our translation. It says, God formerly speaking at many times and in many ways to the fathers in the prophets, upon the conclusion of those days, spoke to us in the Son, whom he appointed heir of everything, through whom also he fashioned the ages, who being the radiance of the glory and exact image of his being. Now, what is this? This is a reference to what Moses said, please show me your glory and let me see your face and all that stuff. He's speaking face to face with this person, the messenger of Yahweh, who appears to him and talks to him face to face. But he's not allowed to see all of his glory, but Moses knows that this is a very glorious being, that he's not allowed to see completely in the fullness of his glory. But Hebrews is referring to that here when it says, who being, that is the Son, who being the radiance of the glory and the exact image of his being, that is Yahweh's face. And notice this, even carrying everything with a declaration of his power, even carrying everything. This is a reference to how Israel was carried by means of the angel of his presence in the wilderness, that it was, in fact, the Son. Hebrews 1:1-3 makes that point clear. Hebrews 1 has a lot more things in it that point to the preexistence of the Son. But this statement right here is a reference to these passages that we have been reading. So we're seeing little clues in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10, in Jude chapter 1, and now here in Hebrews chapter 1, where all these statements in the Old Testament, that all we have to do is just take them at face value. And it's clear that Yahweh did not personally come down on Mount Sinai. Yahweh did not personally lead Israel, carry them, or any of these things himself. He did so by means of his messenger, the messenger of Yahweh, the same one who we saw in the previous section, was the mighty one of Jacob, the one who wrestled with Jacob, the one who changed Jacob's name, and so forth. It's the same person, Yahweh's messenger, who's doing these things, and he uses Yahweh's name many, many, many times, and he's called God many times in the Old Testament. All right, well, that's it for today, and we'll see you again next time.